It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Theriot and Mary Jo Foley are here. I'm almost gone on vacation. One more show. Today we'll talk about IFA, Windows 10, and the bizarre story of a new zero-day Windows vulnerability. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Theriot and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 584, recorded Wednesday, August 29th, 2018. What's the VIG? Windows Weekly is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/windows. And by Qualcomm Snapdragon. According to Ookla, Android smartphones with Snapdragon 845 from Qualcomm had faster data speeds on AT&T and T-Mobile than non-Android phones with Intel modems, based on over a million real-world tests done in Q2 2018. See all the data for yourself at qualcomm.com/twit. It's time for Windows Weekly. Hello! What are you laughing at? Hey, I'm a short timer. I'm going to get out of here.
You're like, bing, bang, boom, we're done.
Let's go. Over. It's over.
Paul, I don't like three of these stories. We're moving along.
Moving along. Yeah, I might do that if I seem a little antsy.
Too little Xbox. What's happening here?
What's going on?
We have too much Xbox. But we can get through this really quick.
Oh, Mary Jo is now also on my side.
Reminds me of an Xbox story.
Paul Theriot's here from Theriot.com, the site where he writes. He has sites where he writes, that and leanpub.org. No, .com. It's not nonprofit. It just seems that way.
It just, yep.
Mary Jo Foley is with ZDNet. Her blog is all about Microsoft.com. And together they form the dynamic duo of Microsoft coverage.
Microsoft cover-ups?
Cover-ups. Let's start with Xbox.
This was at Mary Jo's urging.
Really?
I actually did suggest this.
Really?
Yep.
Why is that?
So here's why. Should I introduce this story? Because
yes,
I never do an
Xbox. That would be so much
story.
Fun.
Okay.
Run!
So remember last week our code name of the week was Largo, and I said it's this thing called Xbox All Access, but we didn't really know what that was. Well, they announced it this week, Xbox All Access. And so
it's
what it is a bundle of hardware, software, and services. Yeah. So the part that I was kind of surprised about is consoles are part of this.
You rent a console, right? Is that how it
it's
works?
Kind of like renting, except you're really buying it. It's more like you get a phone from a mobile carrier, right?
Got it.
You can space out the payments.
Yeah. You can space out the payments, but you're actually buying it. Like, you, if you cut your contract early, you have to pay for the hardware, what you didn't pay already.
Oh. So it's very much like that phone thing.
Yeah. So if you want the Xbox One S, 1 terabyte version, it's $21.99 a month. If you want the Xbox One X, 1 terabyte version, $34.99 a month. Okay, why do I care about this story?
Yes, Mary Jo, please explain yourself.
Does it mean I'm going to buy an Xbox? No. But it, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, look at what they're doing. This is what they're going to do also maybe later this year when they announce that Microsoft Managed Desktop thing we keep hearing about, which is a bundle of a Windows 10 device plus support and servicing, and you pay it as a monthly fee, like a financing deal. And so I'm like, yeah, this is what they're starting to do more and more at Microsoft. They're doing financing deals.
Let me just predict a coming Forbes article in which it explains that legendary Microsoft watcher Mary Jo Foley has once again confirmed that Microsoft is going to put Windows 10 available as a service.
Yep. Remember, they said they weren't going to do this.
Would I get a computer too with the deal? Like $34 a month and I get a computer and Microsoft Windows? That's interesting. Yeah. That's actually really interesting. I bet you're right.
It is. And So what they're doing, this is the reason, why are they doing this? These are financing deals, right? They're trying to expand the addressable market. Like they're trying to get to people who look
kind
at
of like
Xbox
an x86 processor with segmented memory architecture.
Exactly.
No, nothing like that, actually.
No, I know what it is. Here, I got a theory. Can the dummy talk for it?
No, weigh in.
Okay.
Weigh in.
So Microsoft's wanted to do Windows as a service forever, right? They've wanted to rent software forever, and they realized nobody wants to do it, or some people don't want to do it. But if you throw in a computer, if you throw in hardware, then it's like, oh, well, that's a deal.
Well, you know, this is something I've taken advantage of. I mean, obviously, I'm not a financial guru or whatever, but, you know, best case scenario, you shouldn't buy anything you can't afford. But the reality is we live in America. It's the 2000s, whatever. So
it's rent to own. The biggest scam.
Well, it's only a scam if you charge interest on it, right? In other words, if at the end of the 2 years you've paid $1,000 for a $600 item, then you've lost. You know, because tied into this is this notion that hardware is going to go down over time, too. So this Xbox One S and the Xbox One X are both going to cost a lot less money.
Do you own it at the end of the term? I mean,
yeah, you do.
OK, because there is really no resale value. So it is just payments. Well,
I think the reason what makes it OK, and I think what puts it in the middle from kind of a financial perspective is it's a 0% interest loan. So what you're really doing is literally they're chopping the payments by 24 and whatever that comes out to, $35 or $22, and you're paying for it over those 2 years. And in this case, what Microsoft is throwing in, they're not really throwing it in, actually. So you're saving over whether you had purchased Xbox Live Gold over those 2 years, $60 a year typically, and Xbox Game Pass, which is $9.99 a month. This makes sense only if you intend to do all three of those things. Buy the console, subscribe to those two services. If you don't, you're going to be spending more money than you intended to. You know, so there's some incentive, but there's something to think about. But, you know, when you buy a new iPhone directly from Apple, when you buy a new Pixel phone directly from Google, and if you want to take advantage of their in-house financing, assuming, I guess, you have good credit, whatever. I've done this over the past couple of years. It's 0% financing. You get to spread the payments over 2 years. In my case, what I've done is I've always paid the phone off within 3 months or so. But it's better to me than putting, you know, throwing down $1,000. I'm not walking around like Daddy Warbucks with money falling out of my pockets. So this is kind of a, you know, I could see where this is useful to people. So it's that model. You know, Microsoft offers something like this for Surface, by the way, through a different company, but same type of thing. And, you know, you're not leasing it, right? It's not like a car lease where you have to give it back at the end. You own it at the end. So you're not really paying any more than you would have anyway. In fact, in the case of the Xbox One S in particular, you're paying a lot less. I think it was $130 less over that period of time. You know, so it's potentially a good deal for people.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's meant, like I think the Microsoft Managed Desktop thing will be too, and the Surface Plus subscription thing was also, to get people who are kind of like, ooh, I don't want to shell out X number of dollars for this thing right now. But if it was only $21 a month, yeah, okay, I'll do it. So they're counting on it, making, you know, introducing a new audience for Xbox, and later this year, if they do the Microsoft Managed Desktop for Windows 10 devices, you know, people who are like, I don't really want to spend $1,800 for a new PC. Oh, but I could get it for like $30 a month. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it probably would be more than that. I think $1,000 iPhone works out to $40 and change. You know, the Xbox One X today is $500. If you add to that 120 and then 240, that's 360, whatever it is, $860. It's $34.99 a month. It's that price is approximately, if off the top of my head, $30 less than paying for all of those things right up front. But you're getting the thing for a much, you know, a lower cost of entry or whatever you want to call that. It's, you know, $35 a month.
So I'm just thinking. First of all, what's the VIG? I like talking like a gambler.
No, I like the word big. No, big is good.
What's Microsoft's cut?
Big goes back to the Microsoft antitrust trial. We all understand this term.
Is it just what the... I mean, in other words, are they absorbing...
Let me tell you what it is, Shylock. Okay, here's what the big is.
I want my pound of flesh. Are they absorbing the financing costs? Or is there a little
money?
They're
going through a third party, which in this case is a Dell financing thing.
Oh, okay.
I believe. I've not gone through. No, if you qualify, there's zero interest.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
0%.
For 24 months.
Yeah. And then the other thing I think they're going to do, because Apple and others have done this, and then what they end up doing is doing the new phone every year thing. I could see Microsoft saying every 2 years,
yeah,
you automatic, just keep paying and you'll get a new computer.
Get the new
console. Yeah, I wondered if they were going to do that, because the Surface one does do that, right? Like you always get moved to the latest model, I believe.
Oh, see? They were already doing that. Consumers like that. I like that.
So here's the thing. I actually think that makes lots of sense for a phone, right? Phones are those weird things where, you know, we're having these debates over whether a $1,000 smartphone makes any sense and blah, 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 whatever it is. But if you think about the things that you use every single day and the things you use the most versus the things you might use a lot less, the phone is almost always going to be right at the top. And right. And it's a little weird to kind of admit this, but I think it makes a lot more sense for most people to spend most of their perceived budget for technology on a phone and a lot less on a computer. You know, and so you can make the argument, if you kind of further that, the notion that you're going to get a new phone every year or at the longest every 2 years makes sense, because that kind of is people's buying patterns, you know, whereas computers are spread out over time. You know, if you paid for Surface through, what's it called? Surface Plus?
Surface.
Whatever Surface, that program is called. Whatever it is. Yeah, and let's say you got a 0%, no interest, you know, loan essentially.
Yeah.
2 years went by, you bought a Surface Pro 4, a Surface laptop, whatever it was, and it was $30 or $40 or whatever dollars per month, $50. I would hope that most people would then continue using that computer, at least for a year or two more, to kind of get the most value possible out of that thing. The technological innovations that are occurring in PCs on a year-to-year basis are not really that great. It may be really cool in 4 or 5 years to suddenly be introduced to the world of Thunderbolt 3 and USB-C and wireless charging or whatever it is, you know, all these different things you might have on a computer. But year to year, I don't know, right?
I know. Mean,
it's really right. That big of a difference. It's a different kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, there are some people who always want to have the latest and greatest. Like my grandfather, I think I've said this on the show before, he used to want to get a new car every year. So he'd trade up his car every single year to get the latest model of the car.
Wow.
Me, I'd be the person who rides it the same car for 30 years. Yeah. And
so he left you nothing is what I'm hearing?
Exactly.
For some reason, I see this guy with a pipe, a mustache, a little hat, driving a Buick. A
little jaunty hat.
Hat. Is that Dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He always wore a suit in order to drive.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's an expensive lifestyle.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He tried to teach me to drive, but I never wanted to do it with him because I'm like, you've got like the latest version of a Cadillac and you're going to let me drive it?
Yeah.
But he's going to replace it in 6 months.
Exactly.
What's the difference?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, okay.
There are people who want the newest Surface as soon as it's out. Like, I want Surface Pro, whatever. And other people are like, you know what? My Surface 2 still works, so I'm going to keep using that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Surface devices are not typically updated every year. So a 2-year plan might not be horrible for a lot of people. It might be fairly aligned with the schedule. I don't know. I just think all I can do is kind of look at my own financial situation and look at how much things cost. And I know how I feel about money and whether or not I'm going to pull the trigger on something expensive. And I often have remorse. I've bought a ton of things, especially over the past couple of years, honestly, where you kind of spend at the time, you know, $1,299 on a Pixelbook or something. And you're like, it's nice. I don't need this thing, you know, or whatever it might be, you know, and that happens. And that's more likely in my case than me saying, yeah, I just spent $1,000 on that phone. It's time to go buy another phone. You know, it's like, I do it because I'm also in the industry and in some cases, I don't have relationships with these companies. So I don't have a choice, but that's an expensive lifestyle.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's a good experiment.
Yeah,
I know. I'm curious how it actually.
I'm curious how many more people it'll get to buy into an Xbox.
You can look at Surface Go as another experiment along these lines, because when you think about expanding the, what do you call it, Leo, the x86 memory space? No, a flat memory model. No, yeah. I mean, there are kind of different ways, you know, you can do that. One is you could just lower prices, right? I mean, sometimes that's not literally feasible. You know, the PC market is kind of a cutthroat kind of a deal, low margins. And so they have to cut corners in certain areas in order to make the price point of the Surface Go. The other way is to do this kind of thing. And like I said, if you're, you know, taking out a loan or putting it on a credit card and then spending 2 years to pay that off is not a good financial decision. If you can get a 0% interest loan and spread the cost out for 2 years, I know a lot of financial advisors probably still complain about this, but I've used this technique. I don't ever take the 2 years, but it's something I sort of appreciate as being an option, because it makes that $1,000 price tag look a little more manageable, you know?
I can see people going for this big time.
I think so.
It's a smart move to get people back in the market. Now, mm-hmm. we're speculating about the PC thing, but the Xbox right. thing is real, real, real.
Yeah, that is real.
Yeah, but like we said, you know, it follows some similar things Microsoft has done, like the Surface Plus stuff, and it follows what other related industries have done, especially smartphones, you know. Like I said, I've done it. So when I buy a new Google phone or I buy a new Apple phone, I will go through their own financing at 0%. You spread it out, the payments are low. And so if everything falls apart, at least I'll still have the new iPhone. But, you know, hopefully if everything goes well, I could pay the thing off pretty quickly and not have that bill.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So when does this start, this All Access?
Oh, it's already over. It's
They tried it. It failed. Yeah. It's over.
It's over. Well, that's sometimes news breaks. It breaks fast on Windows Weekly.
They announced it what, Monday or Tuesday?
Monday, right?
Oh, it's already on.
It's U.S. only right now. It's they didn't say it this way exactly, but it's sort of an experiment. You know, that you sometimes see the weird phrase, while supplies last, with something for which there is an end supply.
Yeah.
Limited
until
time
we stop
deal.
Making them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I sort of feel like this is a let's see how this goes kind of moment for them. Mm-hmm. But like Mary Jo, I mean, I also see the future in this. And I see, you know, a lot of people, myself included, feel like Microsoft's moving to this all cloud model. And that's subscription based. And they kind of want to see, you know, what does it look like if we offer this stuff together? How do people react to that? You know, I think the reaction is going to be positive overall. It's not like, well, I don't know. You know, there are different parts of Microsoft's gaming strategy where people complain, and I don't always agree with that. I'm having a hard time understanding what the complaint here is. You're not paying more over the 2 years for these things in either case. So they're not, you know, there's no how are they getting you moment, right? Mm. What they're doing is getting you into the community. They're trying to get you to buy a product maybe you wouldn't have done otherwise.
Is there a gotcha, though? Like, I know once I bought a couch and a rug like this, where I had the financing plan, no interest for X amount of time. But it turned out if I paid the payments they told me to pay, I wasn't going to pay it in time. And then, you know, the interest goes way up, right?
Scam.
So,
that's
so I'm wondering,
first of all, this isn't Vinny's financing program from the Bronx.
Hello,
guys. This was an expensive piece of furniture, not like a fly by night place.
Oh no, I'm
expensive actually.
This is the model that like Microsoft already uses with Surface. It is a different financing company. I think
it's Dell. That's kind of interesting.
It is Dell. It is interesting. Microsoft for Surface uses, I think it's the same company that Google uses, and I'm zoning on the name,
Affirm?
But I think it's
is it Affirm? That's one that you see a lot on the Affirm financing.
Oh no, it's not. It's killing me. I can't think of it. I'll think of it eventually.
I'm looking for it now.
It's a financing company. You know, so it really depends on your credit. I mean, I think you know, like a rent to own situation, depending on your credit and your, you know, the interest rate you're going to get. Like when you buy a car, you know, we have a zero interest loan on my wife's car.
Oh, I know what it is. It's Ally Financial, is it?
No, it's WebBank.
WebBank.
That's the Surface one.
The reason I'm thinking Ally Financial is because that's what GMAC became. GM basically did this, didn't they? I mean, they were selling cars, and then they said, well, maybe we should do the financing as well.
And then it became like a bigger business than the actual.
They made more money. It was GMAC was started in 1919.
Jeez, wow. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. In 1939, General Motors did an insurance company, too.
Yeah. Well, it's like Sony's biggest business internationally is an insurance company in Asia. No, it's not. Right. So if you die before the loan is paid out, your heirs have to pay off the loan. No, I don't think it's anything like that. I don't think that's the point. I really don't think there is a gotcha moment. You know, if you apply for the loan and you get it and it's 0%, that's the deal. You know, you can pay it off early. Like I said, that's something I've done year after year now with the Google and Apple phones. It hasn't been an issue. You can always pay it. There's no interest. So it's not like you're paying on a loan and it's like, is it going to the interest or is it going to the, you know, the principal? There's no interest. It's always going to the principal.
Yeah. Kevin Herm says, for a low monthly fee, you get a beer pick of the week every week.
Remember the original Steve Ballmer ad for Windows? I think Windows 3 or 3.1 was like for the low, low monthly price. And he was like standing in front of the computer, you know, screaming.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
That commercial was the best. It was fake, but it was the best.
It was very funny. He was wearing that salesman jacket and he had a little pointer and all that. Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Those were funny. Okay, good. So here it comes, Xbox All Access.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see. Yeah. But I think it's going to be popular.
I think it's going to be popular, says Paul.
What do we have to do to get you in this console today?
Exactly. Now, I don't know. I'm going to check with my manager. But I do think you might
want... I mean, how much can you afford a month? I mean, how much does it cost? No, but how much can you pay?
You afford? And by the way, this week only, undercoating on your Xbox.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, when
well,
it's
you
coming.
Know, they use salt on the road where you live, right?
It's
You're going to have to get the undercoating.
Got to get the undercoating.
Like a dealer added option. Can I get fins on my Xbox?
I want the leather controller.
Alcantara, guys.
I once bought a car many years ago, like 20 years ago, that didn't have leather seats. They had it was a dealer installed option, which I think was probably a terrible scam. Oh yeah, we can put those in for you.
The block Toyota in the Boston area, when we were looking for my wife's current car, we looked at Toyota RAV4s, and we wanted a stick shift at the time. If you got a stick shift, you had to get the base model. But if you got the upper level models, you could have heated seats and whatever it was. And I said, look, we kind of want one that has the stick shift and the heated seats. Yeah. He says, oh, we can put that in for you. I'm like, what are you going to – you're going to stick a heater under the leather seats that aren't available in the thing? That, I'm like, what?
That?
Seriously. Like, we're like, we're never buying a car here. Goodbye.
Right.
Like, that was
right.
insanity to me.
And then they have the nerve to say Tesla can't sell direct in so many states, right? Oh, we don't. No, you got to go through a dealer.
No, you got to go through these. Yeah, because those
guys.
It's like the interstate liquor laws. Yeah, because we want to go with those guys. They're established.
They know how to relate to the customer.
Yeah.
You know, they got a relationship.
Oh my God, it's beautiful.
Aoife, are you either of you going to Berlin?
No.
No,
I will.
No. I want.
I wish I could.
You are going?
No, but I would.
Yeah, I would too.
I'm going to Barcelona. Unfortunately. And Mobile World Congress isn't going on.
As far as CES goes, I know I missed out on that too, actually, by a week. As far as this show goes, compared to CES and PCs, it's the same thing, right? Like, there are two times a year that everyone announces new PCs. One of them is here.
Yeah.
And then the other one is at CES. It's kind of an interesting thing.
I think IFA has gotten bigger than CES for new PCs. Hasn't
really?
It well, I don't know. Hasn't
really?
It? Well, no, you know better than I am.
I just always think of IFA as kind of a junket more than like a real place to announce
it's in Berlin.
It's kind of a yard sale where everyone in the neighborhood participates.
Let me just tell you, the people who live in Germany think CES is a junket.
Well, anything
way,
in Vegas
guys,
is a junket.
Yeah.
They're working on some faded glory there because that CeBIT thing.
CeBIT.
I'm sure it was big in the 70s, but you know, so was Renault.
Where's IFA? It's in Berlin, right? IFA's in Berlin.
Berlin.
IFA is in Berlin, yeah.
CeBIT. I remember CeBIT.
Yeah.
Well, CeBIT used to be the biggest trade show in the world.
Triple Crown winner, right? In
1980. Now it's the second biggest trade show, right?
CeBIT. It's a great movie.
So, you know.
I went once to CeBIT. I just remember, like, it was even more overwhelming than CES. It was just like, yeah.
I went last year to CeBIT, last March. I don't remember. Last February, whenever it was. It's okay. It's, you know, like I said, it's not as big as it used to be.
Yeah.
It's like Burning Man.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's not as big as it used to be. Everybody goes now. It's too crowded. Yeah. Nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded.
Right.
Right. Too fancy. I don't like bands when they become popular.
Yeah. But do you want to talk about IFA or just kind of dish and move on?
Oh, sorry. Yes. So,
I mean, I. Sorry. The weird. Tell me about these ninth generation, these new Intel chips.
So this is the third generation of eighth generation chips at Intel.
So confusing.
Yeah.
I don't like what they've done. I definitely wrote an editorial about this probably last fall where it's like, Intel, you got to get your act together. The communication on this is so untenable. This is at least the second version of U and Y series chips that Intel has released as part of what it's calling the eighth generation. There has been no change from a wattage or nanometer process perspective. They're 14 nanometers still. It varies from U to Y. Y is the ultra mobile. U is the mainstream mobile. It's the thing you see in all laptops, basically, right? Except for the super high-end workstation stuff. I've never seen anything meaningful about there being performance or battery life improvements in this generation. The big thing is that they support gigabit Wi-Fi, which, you know, okay, I guess so. But as is always the case, when Intel releases a new generation of its chips, you see, you know, the PC makers follow. And so I think today we saw Acer and Dell, at least. You can expect HP and Lenovo at one point or another today or tomorrow to announce their new stuff. And I would, you know, again, kind of assuming, but it's kind of too late for back to school. So this is obviously for the holiday selling period. And most of the things you're seeing are consumer focused. Although I believe in both companies' cases, yeah, there's been some kind of small business or business announcements as well. But it basically, it's just a refresh of existing computers and a couple of new models here and there.
Okay. Nothing much. Nothing to see here. Move on.
Well, you know, it kind of ties back to the thing we were just talking about. You know, year to year, usually there aren't these big changes. Last year, it was kind of interesting because in one of the eighth generation sets of chips, the U-series chips last fall, picked up quad-core processors across the board. That was kind of a big deal. Although, day-to-day, people doing normal productivity tasks, Microsoft Word, Excel, whatever, probably are never going to notice a difference. But, you know, the fact that it came with no additional cost, either from a little cost perspective or from a battery life perspective, was great. And that's kind of a win-win. There's no bad part of that. It's just all good news. This year, it's like, well, yeah, there's still quad core. And we have Wi-Fi over here. Look, it's Wi-Fi.
And they also brought up Alexa and Cortana, right? Like they also talked about
that. No explanation whatsoever. Yeah. If you read
the way
they... It
has nothing to do with the chip, though, right? It's just what's in Windows nowadays.
So if you go back a year or two ago and you looked at the way PC makers described their then new computers, a bunch of them were saying things like Cortana enabled. You know, and what that meant was it included a far-field microphone of some kind in the computer so that if loud sounds were coming out of the computer and you were 12 feet away or 20 feet away or whatever it might be, you could speak in a normal voice and it would still hear you, right? And so there's a thing you could say in a computer that benefits a voice assistant. What the CPU could possibly do to make that better is a little unclear. I mean, yeah. The performance is really good on a U-series chip, so the AI-ness of these things would benefit from that. I mean, but it's not like they're taking advantage of specific instruction sets that are specific to AI or to assistants. And Intel doesn't explain it at all. You know, Dell, for example, announced with all of their consumer PCs that they announced, Inspiron, whatever's they are all going to have Alexa integrated by the end of the fall. So right now the computers will not ship with them, but Alexa arrives in, I don't know if it's October or November, and then that's going to be a thing going forward. So why did Intel say anything about Alexa? You can read it yourself. You'll never understand why.
There's no reason.
Oh, and there was a mixed reality headset.
A new one.
Why?
A new one.
Is this the same as the Lenovo and the, I can't remember who, Acer, Asus, somebody else does
Samsung.
One.
Yeah, HP has one.
It's
2880 by 1440, which I believe was the same resolution as before. Actually, it's possible some of the lower end ones came with a 1440 by 1440 display. I know the Samsung one in particular definitely came with 2880 by 1440. So maybe it's the second one with the slightly higher resolution. But, you know, mixed reality is a lot of things. But one of the things no one would accuse it of is super high quality graphics. You know, it has kind of a low quality, you know, look to it. It's just the way it is. And I think that's one of the reasons why this stuff often makes more sense on a portable device like a smartphone or in a standalone VR headset, which is increasingly becoming common.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dell? Dell's got that new Inspiron. You mentioned that, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this like the XPS 13 was updated with these chips. You're probably not going to see any difference there at all. Vostro is their small business line. They're updating those things. Trying to remember if there's anything exciting in there. They have a nice looking display that has nothing to do with Intel chips. 27 inches, QHD, zero bezel. It looks nice, USB-C. I don't know. Yeah, it's just, I don't mean to be blasé about it. I mean, if you're in the market for a new PC, you know, it's always true, but there's never been a better time. I mean, the selection is amazing. The capabilities are getting better over time for sure.
Wait a minute. Let's get this right. If we're going to say that.
We have to start recording.
There's never been a better time to buy a new PC.
Yes. This and other things that are always true coming up at 11. You know, the sun will come up tomorrow. It doesn't matter what happened to you today.
I'm sorry. I'm a little silly because I'm not going to be here ever again.
Yeah, no, yeah, you've got that kind of short timer's disease.
Short timer, baby.
Yeah. Yep.
Going to be in Barcelona before the sun goes down tomorrow afternoon in the evening.
Having tapas.
Door to door, 24 hours of travel awaits you, but it will be totally worth it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It is 24 hours.
Yes, yeah. I bet it is.
And I can't.
I would do it right now if I could.
Oh, man, I'm so excited. I can't hide it. I'm about to lose control. I just can't find it. Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. Are you buying a new home? Brad is. I think Brad used Rocket Mortgage, as I remember. I think he told me that. And he liked it because it didn't, he could do it all online, which is pretty cool. But Rocket Mortgage is even better these days. It comes to you from Quicken Loans. This is the company, of course, that is number one in customer satisfaction year after year. J.D. Power says so. Actually, 8 years running. On mortgage origination, number one in mortgage approval and customer satisfaction 4 years in a row. So that's pretty good. That's a pretty good start. They are now number one in volume. And I think it all goes together and it all comes from customer focus, right? Thinking about what your experience is. And for, you know, a long time, I don't think the banks really thought about that. You got to get dressed up. You got to go to a bank. You got to plead. You got to beg. You got to get a 20-page application that you have to go home and fill out. And then you have to go to and find, you know, pay stubs from a job you left 4 years ago or bank statements from 1989. And it's not fun. And it takes time. And then there's a new little wrinkle in all of this, which is that interest rates have started going up again, which means all this time you're wasting is costing you money. If interest rates go up even a little bit, like a quarter of a point, that's tens of thousands of dollars over the 30 years of the loan. So this is what Quicken Loans is going to do about that. They have created something they call the power buying process. It starts at rocketmortgage.com/windows. We've talked about that before. You could do this anywhere, anytime. You could do this on your phone, your laptop, your tablet. You go there, you answer a few simple questions, no going to the attic for the pay stubs or anything, no humiliating calls to the bank. Merely fill out the application and give them permission. They have trusted relationships with all the financial institutions, so they can verify your income, your assets, and credit. Within a few minutes, they'll give you all loans you qualify for. Within 24 hours, they give you verified approval. Now you've got a letter you can bring to your realtor, or better yet, the seller's realtor when you find a house, and you're right at the front of the line because it basically you're a cash buyer. You're good for it. You've got the loan. Verified approval. Sweet. But I mentioned that thing about interest rates going up, and that adds some anxiety, especially if you're, you know, you're approved, so you're not waiting for the loan. That's good. But you're house hunting, and you don't want to say, oh, we're going to have to take this one, honey, because the rates are going up tomorrow. You want to be able to look. So what Rocket Mortgage does is they lock in your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It cannot go up. They call it Rate Shield Approval, and it's all new from Quicken Loans and Rocket Mortgage. Your rate could go down if rates for some reason go down. I don't see that happening, but rest assured, if it did, you're cool. It just won't go up, and you have 3 months to search for a house. This is exactly what I mean when I say they're customer focused. All you have to do, you could get started right now. Go to rocketmortgage.com/windows. Now, a little bit of legalese. There's always that. If I were on AM radio, I would read it real fast so you couldn't. But I don't, you know, Rate Shield approvals, it's simple stuff. It's only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, that's important. Licensed in all 50 states. Yeah, they even lent money to Brad. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. It's rocketmortgage.com/windows. I probably shouldn't insert Brad into, into the legal.
Not if you want people to actually take legal, advantage of
the legal boilerplate. Leo, you're going to have to do that ad again. The lawyer's called. Brad is not part of this.
I don't know what the Care Bear thing that you just showed was, but.
It's a chupacabra. If you're listening, you don't know, but we have Brad in an outfit who just pops up.
Yeah, it's an outfit.
Then I'll just point out that he has an adult purchased, wore, and allowed himself to be photographed in. And it wasn't some kind of weird eyes wide shut thing. It was like walking around on Halloween night.
It's not a Photoshop.
No, that happened.
No, that happened, man. We haven't talked all day about Windows 10. Does Microsoft still make Windows 10?
Yes, they do.
They sell it for a monthly fee, haven't you heard?
Oh, how exciting. No, yeah, don't say that, Mary Jo. Yeah, it's going to end up in Forbes.
Just kidding, everyone. Kidding.
build 1776. It's very patriotic.
Close enough.
No, it's 17746.
You notice yesterday passed without a new build, even though there was a server build, an SDK build, or an SDK.
What's that mean, Paul? Read the tea leaves for us.
I think they just don't do it. I don't think it means anything.
Donna Sakar had a mani-pedi and she forgot to push the button. That's all. It's not. No.
Well, today's her birthday, so maybe she's holding off. Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. We could send a guy in a suit over to Donna.
We could.
To sing a song.
We know people.
We know people.
Death with a bat.
Clippy on it.
Happy birthday, Donna. That's great. So maybe she did take yesterday off.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah.
I don't think they need her to be around to ship a build.
Doesn't she have that button that she pushes? Isn't that like...
Yeah, she carries it in her purse.
Oh, okay. So it's a symbolic button.
It is.
Yeah.
Sure. It carries a football.
She's got the nuclear codes. Yeah. I can launch Windows anytime.
We're going to wait a really long time because it takes a long time to compile this thing.
Anything to say about 17746?
Your phone, not my phone. Your phone.
Your phone. Yeah. What phone?
Your phone went to release preview, right?
What does that mean, though? It still only does photos, right?
Yeah. So my guess is it means they will make it like in the box part of this, you know, fall update. And then they'll just update it through the store, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. I buy it.
Okay. Cool.
No new features. You know, I think this is the fifth one, maybe.
This little polish. That's all.
Yeah.
We are getting Sticky Notes 3.
Yeah. I mean, you know, back in April or August, sorry, I had seen that they were working on a mobile version. Since then, it's become obvious there's more to this sticky notes thing. There's a big rev coming. And so people who are in the skip ahead ring, it's not really a ring, but let's call it a ring on Windows Insiders, now have access to the first pre-release version of that. So it's, I guess that means it's going to ship in the next version of Windows 10 after RS5. What's it called again, Mary Jo?
19H1.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's tasty.
It's not 1H99.
Rolls right off the top.
That is tasty.
That's the one. You know, that's the one coming next April or so.
Well, don't. Ish. No, that's the whole point of H1. It could be any time, January to June.
Yep. It's true.
Don't put them in a box.
They're timing it for the equinox. You know, we'll see how it goes.
Vernal or autumnal?
That's right. Well, probably vernal based on the names, but I actually don't remember.
Is the vernal equinox a northern hemisphere thing, and then it goes?
Right, that could be.
Is it the same date in north and south, or?
You can just hear the sound of a plane falling out of the sky as we have this conversation.
A lot of Aussies are really mad at me right now.
Yeah, they should be used to it by now. You know, American companies have a way of not really caring,
nope.
You know, about this kind of thing.
John's even shaking his head. What is it, John? Is it?
Actually, there is no
same
equinox.
All over the world, he says.
So, actually,
it's a global phenomenon.
It's not spring and fall anyway. The equinox is in the middle of the year and at the end of December, right? It's like June 21st.
Well, that's why vernal and autumnal. That's my question. So they're both equinox. I don't. Oh.
This whole point is moot because if it ships for the equinox, they're late.
Equinox is once a year, right? That's in the middle of the year. No.
No.
Yeah.
Is it like longitude, latitude?
And then you have the...
Guys, can we just Bing this and get off this topic?
I am, by the way, I am proud to say that I am... one of my things talked. I am putting the Bing translator right on the front page.
Oh, yeah. Good.
So that... you know who else uses it?
Some guy from Microsoft?
No. Some guy in clerical garb that you may know. Father Robert.
Oh. It's been blessed.
So, okay, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Okay, now we got a guy from Harvard wearing a bow tie. He's going to explain vernal and autumnal. Vernal and autumnal equinox. Yes. Are spring and fall. Spring and fall. So it's vernal in the spring in the north. Yeah. And it's vernal in the spring in the south, yes, so they happen in the opposite because solstice is always the same.
No,
solstice is never the same.
Right, solstice. That's what I was confusing. Solstice and equinox.
All right.
It's important that we stick to the things we do know, which are financing rates.
Okay. Now,
Xbox.
Antitrust law.
What is iambic pentameter exactly? No, stop. Go away. Go away. Go away. Go away. Go away. Thank you.
Some nerd in a bow tie just show up to explain something to you in real life?
Yes. Karsten Bondi.
You have like a guy named Ash Jeeves who lives in the building or something?
No. He went to Harvard. And he
so he just knows everything?
Yeah.
Let me tell you what the guy from Harvard knows. People. That's who he knows.
He knows people.
That's his greatest gift.
Actually, that's why he has this job. He knows people.
Yeah.
If he knew people, would he be standing there right now?
No.
Where were we going before vernal and autumnal? Oh, something Bing about. Translator. So Father, yes. I don't know if I'm telling tales out of school or not, but I'm going to do it anyway. So Father Robert, as you know, has been recalled back to the Vatican, Vatican City. He's going to Rome. He flies out Friday, this coming, like in a couple of days, right? And Monday, he's still going to be very jet-lagged. He gets there like Sunday night. He's going to be very jet-lagged. Monday, he has to go to the big Curia meeting, which he says is all in Italian. And his Italian's not great. He speaks Spanish, but his Italian's okay, but not great.
It sounded like at the end of everything. It'll be fine.
So that's what I said. he's going to put his phone on the desk with Bing Translator running, and he says that's actually pretty good. That's about as good as simultaneous translation as you're going to get without a human.
You can try those Google headphones. the Pixel Buds.
Never worked.
Yeah. The Babelfish wasn't real.
But it's interesting because he's not using Google Translate. He's going to use Bing Translate for that.
Right.
So there you go. As used in Rome.
There's a reason he's a friend of the show.
He's a friend of the show. So what does Mambo Italiano really mean? Hey, la, la, Mambo Italiana.
I see it was the version of Kobe that's playing in the Italian Basketball League. But...
Wish list. What's wish list?
This is going to take 10 seconds. It's exactly what it sounds like. The ability to click off on a wish list item in the store so you can save it in a list for later.
Oh.
So, yeah.
So if you're a nerd and you have fans and you want their fans to give you tribute, pay tribute, they can buy you a copy of Candy Crush Soda.
Well, hopefully not that, but yes. So that's coming to the store. It's not quite implemented yet, or at least it wasn't the last time I checked. Actually, let me check now. But it is...
Oh, that's nice. Wish list. Who would be reading that wish list?
I mean, a lot of times the wish list is really just for you.
Oh.
You know?
It's my wish list.
God, I'm having a hard time finding something I don't own that's paid. Anyway, I don't think it's implemented yet.
How about this one? I think this is a more general interest to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy named Paul Thurrott tweeted this.
Yeah. You'll notice, and as is always the case with this loser, there's an inaccuracy in this. The actual version number is not 1709. I believe it's 1607. Because that runs out of support on October 9th.
So what will you get? A warning if you're on 1607?
I assume that they will also start, you know, putting those little pop-ups. But this is one way they're doing this, you know. So I don't know if this means they're going to prevent you from, you know, downloading app updates or whatever. But
this is in the store.
Yeah.
It's a big banner.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
This is okay.
No, this is actually the best way you could do it, I think.
That's 1607, not 1709. You said,
Right? That was my mistake.
Okay.
So,
because when I saw you tweet that, I was like, "Wow, they're already doing that to people running 1709."
No, so 1709 has, you know, probably goes till the following spring or so. I don't remember the exact dates, but
18 months, right?
Don't you get 18 months? Of all the places Microsoft could put this, this is a good one. Although, I don't know how many people like open the store every day, but.
Yeah, I think they need to have this is one of those cases where the Microsoft's policy of throwing pop-ups everywhere is actually okay, right? This is something the user does need to know about.
Well, you're in the store, it's okay too, right?
Well, but they could put it in different places. In other words, he didn't say this, but I would imagine over time you're going to see something pop up from the Action Center, you know, some other kind of a notification. Right. That's fine. It's fine. In this case, this is an appropriate way to warn people about stuff.
Yeah, I think that's good. So if you are still running whatever 1607, you might want to hide. How could you run 1607 and not be updated?
Yeah.
Well, it could work for companies.
You can postpone the updates if you're running.
Those are the only people, though.
Windows Update for Business, right?
Everybody else, Actually, I think that's a big success story. I'm going to say that. I'm going to go out on a limb here.
What is a big success story?
That Microsoft has so many people up to date is a big deal.
At what cost, Leo?
I know.
If this company cured cancer, would it be okay? Make it okay?
Yeah, I get calls all the time from people who really just want to be on really old versions of Windows.
Yep.
And it's a bad idea. And so a little credit to Microsoft that they found a way to keep people on a much more modern.
I think people like what's familiar. I think there's an okay argument to be made that whatever features they've added to Windows 10 over the years, fundamentally, the product has not changed in any dramatic way, right?
Right.
The start menu is the same way. The taskbar looks basically the same, that kind of thing. I think one of people's aversions to change is just that they're so familiar with the thing that they have. That said,
I do understand that. I just...
Yeah, but, you know, I could kind of imagine someone saying, look, you ship some version of Windows 10 on whatever date, and I'm comfortable with it. I understand it.
Right.
I know that you're going to update it with bug fixes and security fixes for the next, you know, 2 years or whatever it is. And I'm okay with that, too.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's where Microsoft isn't really meeting people because they're not content to do that. They're going to put out major feature updates twice a year, too.
Yeah.
And I think that's where people get a little freaked out. And those things are delivered in a very heavy-handed fashion. You know, like a cumulative update is a little thing you install. You do have to reboot, but it's just a little update. It takes minutes. And a feature update, which you get twice a year, it takes hours. I mean, yeah. It really does. They've worked to kind of hide it in a way, and it may be for most people they are hiding it, but it's still a momentous event for your computer. You're installing a new version of Windows and then putting everything back. You know, mm-hmm. It's you can tell just from the amount of time it takes that what you're doing is pretty serious.
Yeah.
And I do understand the negative reaction to that.
Yeah. No, I know. It's not that I don't understand it. It's just that in a way, that's why I'm saying it's a success story, because you're getting people who really don't want to move. You're getting them to kind of go along. I mean, admittedly, a little bit kicking and screaming, but not as bad as it could be. And there is, I mean, it's certainly the case that people are, you know, more.
You can't argue with the results. I mean,
I mean, people rag on Android all the time for all the old versions of Android floating around.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, Windows is not a service, please repeat after me, but they have done a pretty good job, especially over the last two versions, of doing it in a reliable way overall, and doing it in actually a really fast way too, which is kind of the most amazing part, just the speed at which the population is upgraded. Mm-hmm. It's pretty impressive.
So this is interesting. While we're talking about this, Marvin, who's listening, just sent me a screenshot of what happens if you're running 1709 and what you see. And so you see a graphic in the store that says millions of PCs are up to date. Join the millions of people who are up to date.
But it doesn't say you're out of date. It just says...
It doesn't say you're out of date, but it's kind of like, come on, upgrade.
Does it have a date?
Nope.
Is there a date?
Nope.
It doesn't say do it by October, whatever, 9th.
Nope. Nope. Well, screenshot he sent me, though.
So it sounds like it's similar, but without the date.
Yeah, he says, I am running Windows 10 Pro, and I postpone the update via settings.
Interesting. Interesting.
I know. So you're starting to needle people a little more. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you have to, because people don't want to move. So you kind of have to, right? I mean, I
feel like
a
they shouldn't
needling.
Be. I feel like they shouldn't be doing that to business customers, though, because they're giving them the option to postpone it, right? And some businesses postpone it for real reasons, like incompatible software or haven't tested
businesses,
it.
Businesses, yes, app. For sure.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? You're going to have that page and say, unless you're a business user.
I know. Right.
Well, if they know your PC is managed by a business, you should never see that. That's something they could do.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I, you know, for all the flack that businesses will get for the slowness of their upgrade policies and whatnot, I mean, the one thing I think we need to acknowledge is that they have really good reasons for doing what they do typically, right? Because they have application compatibility issues to worry about. They also, the kind of company that would block an update like this has some giant infrastructure in place, and part of that infrastructure would be for security.
They have Cisco Umbrella. They have, you know, all sorts of, you know.
Yeah, you could be running Windows XP and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, because they have these other controls.
Oh, heck. I feel so safe inside here that the other day somebody mailed me in an unmarked envelope a USB key. I just plugged it right into the laptop just to see what happened. Because I knew Russell wouldn't let me do anything dangerous. No, seriously, in a good large enterprise, the kind of enterprise that has a site license like that, they better be protected.
Yep.
The least of their worries is whether they've got the latest version of Windows. They got employees doing all sorts of stuff.
Not to mention, you know, just the inevitable questions and training that all this stuff would require. I don't think it's like, even if you went back to the very first version of Windows 10, I bet it's not a horrible transition from a user perspective, going from Windows 10 version 1 to the one we have today or whatever. But I guess maybe as you get into the weeds a little bit, it gets worse. You know, at some point, they're going to have to change things in a big way. And then we're going to have a different conversation. But so far, I don't think it's been bad.
Well, that was really fascinating. I'm sorry. I nodded off. Why did Paul Thurrott, I'm assuming this is you, why did, because I don't see Mary Jo writing this headline, the HP CEO undermined the entire PC industry? I ask you.
prior to and including all of last year, we had suffered through six straight years of declining PC sales. The PC market is today two-thirds the size it was at its peak. So we've been looking for any signs of life that we could possibly see for years. In January, depending on who you listen to, the PC market actually did kind of break even, meaning that sales were flat with the previous quarter, or the same quarter a year ago. In the most recent quarter, at the end of June, both the big two analyst companies, IDC and Gartner, both agreed that the PC market was basically flat or even up a little bit, basically just up a small amount. But we take this as a victory, right? And the hope is that we've kind of, whatever the reverse of a plateau is, we've hit that point. And, you know, the PC market maybe experiences small growth going forward, or it stays flat, it doesn't keep declining. So as PC makers announce their results, and we've seen these, we've seen this from Lenovo in particular was a more recent one, but HP is the world's biggest PC company. Apple, which saw a decline in Mac sales in that quarter. We keep trying to gauge whether what we're seeing here, you know, points to health. Anyway, HP, the company that, you know, is, again, the world's biggest PC maker, beat analyst expectations, both from a profit and a revenues perspective. And they don't release figures for how many PCs they sold, but it looked like it was really good news. And then the CEO got on CNBC and he started dumping all over everything. And he basically said, look, we still predict that PC sales are going to decline, but the revenue is going to be flat because now we're charging more on an ASP basis, meaning an average selling price. In other words, HP is what he's saying is what we've been talking about for a long time, that the PC makers have looked for submarkets in the PC market that can make money for them, which are premium PCs, including gaming PCs. That's how you raise the average selling price. But it's worse than that because, you know, Apple has a strategy right now. How do you manage the fact that smartphone growth has stalled and, you know, Apple just sold the same number of smartphones year over year that they had, you know, they had sold in the same quarter a year ago? Well, you raise the ASP. That's why they introduced the iPhone X. That's why this year they're going to have three phones like that. You know, that's why the services stuff is such a big deal, because the amount of money you're making per user goes up, even though you're not selling more devices. But the thing is, we've been kind of resting our hopes for the future of the PC industry, at least in the short term, on this Windows 10 migration thing. We know that Windows 10 has about 18 months to go before Windows 7 is gone and it becomes the only supported version of Windows. And we are expecting now and in the near future for there to be a big spike of PC sales, especially in the business sector because of this. And he said that, yes, there's going to be some stimulus to the market because of Windows 10, but it's not going to be quite as spiky as with previous operating system transitions. That's really bad news, because I sort of view Windows 10 as what might be literally the last great Windows upgrade, meaning the last time we're going to see any amount of giant upgrade wave, especially in the business sector, because now we're just doing Windows 10. And, you know, if you think about it, the compatibility or the system specifications that the system can run on really kind of haven't changed. In fact, when you go from Vista to 7 to 8 to 10, they actually went down at one point. Now, they're artificially removing support for older chipsets, and Spectrum Meltdown really helped with that. That's going to help for the future. But this kind of, you know, when the guy who runs the world's biggest PC maker, this is what he says about PC sales. Mm-hmm. That's not good news. That's kind of ominous.
I'm just amazed that he wears a hoodie.
Yeah, that's not him.
Oh,
I thought that's a guy using an HP computer.
Oh, okay. I thought that was the CEO. All right.
I wish he looked like that guy.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's probably wearing Adidas shower slippers, too. It's all the rage, I hear.
Yeah, he's writing in a moleskin notebook. Yeah. He's going analog.
Yeah. Hipsters. This is really an interesting story. Speaking of hipsters and Twitter.
Yeah. I want desperately not to ever link to this person, so I don't know how you intend to supply graphics for this, but let's just put
we
it
talked
this way.
About it yesterday on Security Now.
Okay,
is he a security? Actually, it's they. I think he uses, or they use they as their pronoun.
Yeah, that's how I used it.
They tweeted a 0 day yesterday and kind of were really peeved at Microsoft.
In a very profane way.
Yeah. I got the impression it was like, oh, you don't pay enough in your bug bounty, so I'm going to 0 day you.
It's worse than this because the register, in looking this person up, discovered that someone with their exact name 2 months ago was trying to sell 0 days on Reddit.
Exactly.
And
hey, who can I sell this 0 day to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those posts were removed.
But they're back.
Oh, really?
Okay. Interesting. It's just the whole thing is bizarre.
You gave it away on Twitter, buddy.
Yeah, so then they just revealed it. Now, Microsoft reacted with a little bit of, they were actually kind of calm about this, but they basically said, look, we have to investigate any claim like this, and our current plan is to handle this on the normal schedule, meaning next month's patch.
So just so people understand, it is a privilege escalation, but you have to be local to the computer. Somebody has to be sitting at your computer, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
and
so,
somebody else verified that it's real and, whatever.
Yeah,
but
no, it's real, but...
The bizarreness is just the way it fell out. The person also came back and kind of apologized, said something to the effect of, sorry, I was having a really bad day. Said that Microsoft's a great company.
They said this is a subsequent post from them?
Yeah.
Oh, how funny.
It's a tweet and on Twitter. It was just,
I don't know,
just weird.
I don't have a Twitter account anymore, but
Oh, here, I'll read it to you then.
No, please don't. I'd have to bleep it.
No. I'm not going to read it like that. I mean, I'll read the
you'll self-bleep? You're going to do self-bleeping? Yeah. Okay.
No, actually, I never quoted the original bit of it anyway.
No, I noticed you didn't put his, their name.
No, I won't. I don't want people like this to get, anyways.
So how much should we worry about this? This is all versions of Windows, even a fully patched Windows 10 system?
I think what's going to happen is Patch Tuesday will happen, and people will look at the reports that Microsoft puts out about their fixes. Microsoft is not going to come out and say, hey, remember that thing with that idiot on Twitter? We fixed that. They're not going to do that. But people are going to look at the fixes and say, this kind of maps to what they were saying. And I guess maybe there are examples of it. Actually, there are examples. I'm sorry, it's in GitHub. So people know exactly what the flaw is. So that was the other thing. They put it in GitHub in case anyone wanted to download this particular flaw and put it on their computer. Or I guess the flaw is... I'm sorry, the exploit code. Someone will be able to tell based on the exploit that's out in the wild, thanks to the security researcher, now retired, whether or not Microsoft has fixed it. And so my expectation is they will fix it quickly if they don't get it to Tuesday. And it is this serious. I don't think they would wait until the following patch Tuesday. I would imagine they'd ship it out and update. So my expectations will do it pretty quick.
My attitude always is if somebody has access to your computer and is logged in, there's a lot they can do. You don't need a 0 day to ring the alarm. It's a bad bug. It's a bug. It's a bug.
Yeah. They would possibly otherwise have a career in this industry if it wasn't for the fact that they're insane. So that doesn't work in their favor. Yeah. And
he could have just been having a bad day. Well, extends to everybody running Windows 10. So,
Exactly. Yeah. I don't make everyone vulnerable when I'm having a bad day. Yeah. I just leave the internet
Although,
for a few hours.
It'd be nice if you could.
I know. I wish I could wield
that. Nice to have that power? Wow. I'm going to mess with you right now. Okay.
You make pop-ups come up. Hey, remember that time you chose Chrome? Well, you're getting Edge now. Sorry about that.
Edge, actually, I have nothing to say about Edge.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
it sounds like you do.
Well, yesterday in Security Now, Steve was talking about a kind of a furor over the fact that Chrome... now is blocking a bunch of antiviruses because the antiviruses hook into Chrome's sandboxed routines. They modify the Chrome kernel as viruses do, antiviruses do, as well as viruses. And and the Chrome folks say, well, we don't like that. So they started to warn about antiviruses. And it turns out
like a Microsoft thing.
Well, that's the funny thing. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about this and everybody's upset and the antivirus companies are all peeved. Turns out Edge has always done this, but it never bothered anybody.
because nobody ever used it.
Nobody knows.
I mean, Microsoft instituted a policy in the last version of Windows 10 about antivirus and having to adhere to new standards, and that caused a big stink, you know, because I guess a bunch of the existing and probably out of date antivirus solutions would never conform to this. Like, you'd have to upgrade to a new version or whatever, which, you know, when it comes to something security related, maybe you should be on the latest version.
Well, but yeah, but the problem, and these antivirus companies say the problem with this is that now we can't watch your web traffic if you're using Chrome. We have to stay away from Chrome.
Chrome is the most privacy and security focused browser on earth, of course. Why? I am of
two minds on this because, sure, you know, on the one hand, I kind of understand why Chrome doesn't want these, because a lot of times these antiviruses are very poorly crafted, shall we say. Yep. But I also understand if somebody puts an antivirus in their system, it's because they want the antivirus to watch inbound traffic, including websites that you're going to on Chrome. So I'm of two minds. In any event, the real point here was Edge has always done it. Nobody knows.
That's amazing. Nobody cares.
That's my understanding, anyway. Let's, and as you know, my understanding is weak. Weak. Weak, I tell you. Excel, PowerPoint, and OneDrive. What do these three things have in common?
500 million downloads on Android.
That's not true.
Okay.
How could that be true? Each 500, each half a billion, each on Android?
Word hit this, so Word hit this amount back in June, I think it was.
I guess it is true.
I've downloaded these apps about 2,100 times myself.
It's your
fault. I think that, remember, this is downloads, not active users. The number of people actually using these things day to day is probably a small fraction of this, in the millions or tens of millions or whatever it might be. But it's still, it's interesting. And I just to do kind of a test, you can't really get the same stats on the Apple App Store. But back when Microsoft first shipped these things on, I don't remember anymore if it was the iPad only or iPad and iPhone, whenever it was, I had gone in and looked to see where Word, Excel, and PowerPoint were on the top, you know, downloaded list for free apps. And they were at whatever positions they were. They were pretty high. They were in the top 20, let's say. Those apps are actually still in the top 20 today. If you go onto your device and look at the top free apps and go down 20, you'll see all three of those apps. And Outlook is high up there. It's higher than one of those three, I think. OneDrive is in there. OneNote is in there. Their mobile apps are actually doing really well.
I wonder how many people just download, like, they're like, oh, I can have the whole suite of Office apps. Cause, like, I've never opened, I don't think I've ever opened an Excel spreadsheet on my phone.
right. I don't usually use any of these apps. Well, I use OneNote all the time, actually. But on our recent trip to Sweden, we had a shared Word doc. Oh, because the people who did the house guide, I put that in OneDrive. And that's how we accessed it on Word on our phones. And it was one of those things, like, we'd be out in the city and my wife would say, hey, those guys recommended some restaurants. We should go look that up. And that's how we did it. You know, like, we actually used, you know, because they wrote this thing as a Word document. I'm not going to write the next great American novel, and certainly not on a phone. But it's, you know, it's smart that they're there, and it appears that they're successful.
Yeah. How about To-Do?
Don't you love these awkward pauses? I like to put at least one in every show.
I don't have any way to monitor where you are, so you can see us.
I know.
But I know, he's having lunch.
Lunch? Like Womper Room. You're running around the office or something.
So here's a question for you.
See?
I'll be on a plane for the next 24 hours. We're having Mexican food.
Sure. Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Is that a bad idea?
Yep. Emergency at 30,000 feet.
Maybe I should just put that aside.
A dreamliner had to make an emergency stop in Reykjavik when a passenger complained about stomach pains.
I think the 777 is designed to handle that kind of thing. I am on a 777, by the way. I'm excited. A dreamliner.
Ooh, nice.
Those are the ones with, they have really big windows.
Yeah. And they do electronic dimming. Yeah,
they auto mute.
So I was just on those. And the wings are curved like a bird wing. So, you know, I'm positive this is the case, but if you get on a plane today, any typical plane, you'll see they have those little kind of wing things out on the tip of the wing, right? The little stand-up bits, like a little the fins or whatever. You'll see these on every plane. And it seems to me like they were added at some point. Like the planes that – a lot of the planes that have them today originally ship without them. I'm summarizing this, but it's like we figured out this thing and it aids with the stability or whatever it is. It, you know, maybe it's good for turbulence. Like we put these little fin things on the wings.
I think they're so cute.
They obviously serve a purpose, right? So they're everywhere. Like you'll see them on basically every plane today. The Dreamliner has like the wings kind of curve out and then they go up at the ends. And there's a couple of weird effects to that, but it's an exaggerated version of those fins. Clearly, it's for turbulence or quality.
Nope. Okay. Pilot Hold Alex on. Just popped in. We got an interesting cast of characters around here.
I know you do.
The Harvard bow tie guy.
I am just okay. Sit down, Alex. Relax.
Captain Alex came in and he says,
"This is just my. I'm surmising.
It's fuel efficiency.
But the other thing that's
Paul.
Hold on
it's fuel. Okay.
Obviously, it's more streamlined. But The other weird thing about it is you actually can't see very well out the window.
No.
Because wings go up, essentially, from where you're sitting.
Yeah.
So your view of the window, if you're on the wing, is the wing.
That's why I asked for a middle seat.
Who cares?
Warm. Yeah, I don't care. I want to watch movies all the way.
All right, so you're saying it's only for just the streamlining.
That's what Captain Alex says.
Right. All right, fine.
Or as we call him, Captain Crunch.
I don't make
one
you look like a jerk
when
you're a
short.
Podcast, Alex. So that's fine.
Oh, I'm a short timer. Did you do to-do?
Not really.
We were just about to.
They're racing through updates on this app. It's kind of sat there, remember, untouched for a long time.
Yep.
Marcus Ashe is out there now. Now the team's racing through updates. They almost every week now there's something. Mm-hmm. And this past week they added up tagging support, hashtag support. And so you can link by hashtag. So that's cool. Like it's kind of a nice way to.
Do you know, because you visited them in Berlin, have a soft spot for them?
No, I've always had a soft spot for him. And I've always been fascinated for as long as this is. Remember, we talked about Sway last week, and I talked about how I remember going into the Microsoft field office in San Francisco and being presented with this app for the first time. And I've always been, since that point, I've been kind of fascinated by Microsoft's efforts to exist in this new kind of mobile first, cloud first world, right? So you can take an existing application like Word and you can bring it down to a mobile device. We just talked about that. That's interesting. But more interesting to me is how does this kind of ancient company in the tech world adapt to the new ways that people are doing things, right? Sway is one attempt. To-do is another one, because I think there are a lot of kind of old schoolers who are sitting around with some ancient version of Outlook and a PST file they carry around in a floppy disk and they're, next to their pencil case, whatever.
It's in my briefcase file.
Yeah. I'm never going to lose. Yeah, exactly. I'm never going to lose this thing. So, but then there's these new people that are younger and they do things different ways. And so, Teams is interesting to me for this exact same reason.
Yep.
You know, the Microsoft of 5 or 10 years ago would never have come out with something like Teams because it's just not there. It's not the way they do things. This is new, So To-do is absolutely one of those things. I mean, Microsoft didn't grow this thing in house. It came out of Wunderlist, but it kind of speaks to this new way of doing things. Sway is interesting to me because, I think Mary Jo talked about this. PowerPoints are hard. And when you something like PowerPoint, back in the late 80s solved a problem because you had to figure out how to get things on like these slides, the literal slides that would go into a projector. And it was hard. You needed additional people to do the presentation. For the day, it was better. For today, you might make the argument, this is kind of like an aircraft carrier. And I just want to go to the corner store and get some milk. Is there an easier way to do this? Is there a more modern way to do this?
We're gonna put little things on the tips.
No, it's not about. It's not because I would. If you go back and I would always cover any of the to-do stuff. I am really interested in any attempts by Microsoft to address the fact that the world has changed. And how they do that sometimes successfully, and sometimes not. But I this stuff to me is fascinating.
Mm. And they're really pushing hard now on the whole idea of tasks, right? This idea where they have all these different things, including sticky notes and planner and to-do.
They
have a lot of different ways. OneNote.
They need to, ensure that this stuff is all on the same back end, you know, so that if you make a to-do list.
That would be cool.
Right.
That they would need be.
Because I have like 20 to-do list programs, they need but none to-do of them talk to each other.
They need they need this stuff to, they need it to work wherever you are, you know.
And a single server, and you choose the view you like.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Someone kind of said to me, well, you know, OneNote is this gigantic thing that does all this stuff, and it's great for all kinds of things. And then To-Do is this thing that's kind of small, and it only does this one thing. To which I would just say, well, why can't I make OneNote work that way? And why is there a sticky notes thing now that has all these list-making capabilities and To-Do capabilities? Like, to me, these things should be the same thing. And we haven't even touched on the fact that Outlook, the desktop applications, Outlook, the web applications, of which there are at least two, and Calendar and all kinds of other things across the Microsoft stack all have their own version of tasks / to do, depending on which one we're looking at. This stuff needs to be one thing.
I've never heard that they're going to do that, though. Have you?
But this is like when they used to do file sync stuff under Ray Ozzie, and there were like eight of them. And it's like at some point you just kind of have to stand up and say, can we pick a winner, please, and move on? Like, they shouldn't have
many of them. I don't know. I feel like the way they're looking at it is let people use the one they like and let people use different ones for different tasks. Like, would you use sticky notes the same way you would use OneNote? Some people would, maybe.
No, I wouldn't. But then I'll just point to this without a lot of knowledge of it because I've never wrapped my head around it. But Google Keep is more like sticky notes than it is like OneNote. And my understanding is that people do use Google Keep like OneNote. So I'm not... Don't get me wrong. I don't mean I have an answer and here's the one that makes sense and here's how it works. I don't mean it like that. I just mean all of a sudden we have several to-do solutions from Microsoft in mobile app form, in web app form, in desktop app form, you know, in service form, some overlap in some cases, but not in others, and different versions. You know, it's a little...
You know how you solve this? And I wish people... This kind of goes back... to the way it used to be, but if you would just have an API to every app,
that's actually what I kind of meant. Like when I said I was joking with the name, but the notion of a to-do core,
that's what I really meant was server, but an API.
Well, a common they should be compatible, and I ideally you should be able to see your notes from any of those things if you want to. You know, the same notes. Like if I, for some reason, went on a 6-month tirade with sticky notes on Windows 10 next year. And then was like, I think I need something a little more powerful than this or whatever. I should be able to go to OneNote, and that stuff should be there waiting for me.
RF 2020 says, let's bring back Olay.
Oh, man. Common Olay. Yeah.
That was the idea, though, wasn't it?
Interrupt. Communications. I don't think Olay actually technically ever went away.
Became the DOM and the COM.
COM Plus and DCOM and...
Active desktop.
I don't know. I'm not even 100% sure anymore. All I know is I really miss ActiveX, and I thought that was it.
Liar!
It was safe and secure.
Liar!
Yeah.
If you were going to start over again.
Yep.
Designing.
I think about this every day, Leo, but go on.
It would be, there's a kind of long tradition in programming of something called refactoring where we did it. We now understand it. Let's refactor. It's okay to go back, look at your code and improve it. It'd be nice to refactor the whole damn thing. You know, just throw it all out.
Okay. Actually, this came up recently. Maybe Mary Jo will have some insight into this. Somebody asked me last Friday about something like this. They said, the reader said, I was looking at Google Fuchsia, this semi-rumored but really real thing that they're working on to maybe someday replace Android. Obviously, one of the goals of Fuchsia is for Android apps to run natively on this platform, and Flutter is part of it and whatever.
Probably also has something to do with the Oracle lawsuit, which they're now appealing to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, absolutely. So someone said, you know, why couldn't Microsoft do this and kind of reinvent Windows? And my initial reaction to that was, well, they did do that one time, right? Mm-hmm. Back in the late 1980s, they were looking at a way to kind of move forward with their own thing and get rid of the OS2 yoke or whatever. And eventually what they settled on was Dave Cutler and NT and the guys from Digital. And that became Windows NT, and it became Windows over time. It was kind of incredible. And there were these things in the middle, or, you know, since that were kind of like Hiro was kind of a, not a new thing, but a, you know, new way of doing the same thing, whatever. But really, realistically, the Windows we have today is it's NT. It's the same system. Would Microsoft ever think about doing this kind of thing? So just a quick statement and a question for you, I guess, is I believe that this ship has sailed and there's no actual point in this anymore.
Yeah.
But I also believe that Microsoft has, in fact, worked down this avenue several times and that you probably know about all of them. So what's your take on both of those things, I guess?
Okay, so when I first heard about Fuchsia, the first thing I thought was Midori, you know, which was right. When Microsoft was working on an operating system that wasn't based on Windows at all, and they had this dream team of all the big programming stars at the company. They worked on it for years, and then they just abandoned it. And a lot of the people left, or they used some of the things they learned in some of the tooling and other things at the company. But Windows 10 also is kind of trying to do what Fuchsia is. In other words, it's trying to be the core that runs across everything and is this operating system that can be kind of the common thing across all different kinds of devices.
But it's still Windows, right? It's still NT.
It is. That one is still Windows, right?
Does that indicate that they've
kind of... And I agree with you. I think the ship has sailed as far as doing something totally different from Windows.
Because the benefit would be kind of non-existent. You know, that for the purposes for which people use Windows, this works great.
Right.
You know, it's still fine for what it does.
Right. Even in the more forward looking markets where they're trying to put Windows now, things like embedded, right? It's still Windows. I mean, there are cases like Azure Sphere where it's Linux on the microcontroller, but I feel like if for Microsoft to suddenly go, you know what, we're going to build a different operating system and it's not going to be Windows. If they did that at this point in the company's history, it would be strange.
Yeah. It was a big deal when Apple went with the Next Step system and could have gone with B. Had many things before that they were working on. It was a big deal when NT happened. It was a big deal when NT became Windows. But those desktop systems, we're talking almost ancient history now, right? OS 10 is 2001, very late 90s to 2001. NT was the first version was 93. I guess you could Windows 2000 or Windows XP, however you want to measure it, was when that really kind of took over. It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
And today, the systems that are kind of big as an ongoing concern are the mobile platforms for the most part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if Microsoft does a mobile device, a new mobile device, whatever happens with Andromeda or doesn't, whatever. But if they do some kind of, it's going to be Windows again. Even if they do a tri-folding screen thing that's like a new kind of device, like a courier style, it's going to be Windows inside. It's not going to be some new thing.
Even the things that don't run Windows applications are Windows. Windows RT, Windows 10 S, S-Mode, whatever. Windows Phone as a kind of a fork of Windows. Mm-hmm. Doesn't run desktop applications, although I'm positive this is basically what amounts to Win32 type stuff in the lower levels of the platform. I mean,
It's
Windows. Yeah. It's like one of those 1960s Attack of the Giant whatever movies, where they use forced perspective to make the thing look humongous.
He's being good today. Shh.
I know. Don't mention. All right, cats, they might wake up.
Did you? You should show it, Mary Jo. Did you ever get a chance to see the cute Raiders thing that the Tomb Raider guys did?
The what?
The cute Raiders.
So the guys that make Tomb Raider made a preview video for the game, the next game, and they called. I think it's called Cute Raider, and it's instead of it being people starring in this action movie, it's cats and dogs. The villain is one of those hairless cats.
That's appropriate. Shadow of the Cute Raider. Not actual gameplay.
That's excellent.
So this is a joke, right? They're not really going to make this game, are they?
No.
Oh, good.
Oh, I was going to say, maybe I should rent an Xbox.
Yeah. Well, think get Cuphead and this. Oh, the poor dog. The poor dog is in a dungeon. The hairless cat is going to do something mean. Then along comes the cute raider.
Patches. Cat's name is Patches.
Patches and Rust.
See, that's the Call of Duty cat we've always needed.
Oh. Oh, distract him with a ball of yarn. That'll do it.
This is involved.
It goes on.
I like the hairless hand with the razor on it.
Yeah.
Oh, she's going to shave the dog. Poor people listening on audio are missing absolutely nothing.
As they often do.
Absolutely nothing. What is it, a Roomba? Oh, yep. You know how cats are about Roombas.
They love them.
They love the Roomba. Oh, and there's the hairless cat riding the Roomba. And the puppy is saved. Oh. Shadow of the Curator. That's good. That's good. That's nice. It's nice when they, you know, I like it when my staff has a lot of free time. And they do things, you know, fun things.
See how I snuck in kind of another Xbox thing?
Oh!
Yeah.
Burn!
Yeah, I did see that.
Oh, boy.
Do we want to talk about yet another smart thermostat? Is this the one?
This is the one.
This is the same one?
I think this is a good one. This actually looks really cool.
All right. It's the Johnson Control.
That's Are you going to get say. One?
No, it doesn't make sense.
We talked last
house.
Time about... you might have to have a third wire. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah. First of all, I'd have to get two of them, and it would only work for my air conditioning. So it's kind of a non-starter.
Yeah. This is the Glass, GLAS, smart thermometer that we were talking about. By the way, runs on a Qualcomm Snapdragon 410E. Mm-hmm.
It's running Azure IoT.
Oh, wow. Neat.
Windows IoT Core.
Windows 10 IoT.
That new secure thing they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, not the Azure Sphere one, but the...
Oh, it's not? Oh, no. Oh, okay. No. You know, I don't know. It's been a while since we've had any Xbox news. Maybe Paul could throw a little more in before we...
Couple of things. This isn't a huge deal, but in whatever the fall update is, they're reorganizing the games library screen. It's actually the apps and games library screen. You know, this is like a lot of things in these UIs as things get more complex. If you think about the Apple iPhone or the settings interface in Windows 10 or whatever, you have to kind of start rethinking things. And I think with people having more games and more types of things you can download and so forth, the screen, which you can't see there, unfortunately, Matty asked me if I could take a screenshot, but all that stuff was dismantled when we did the home swap, so I didn't really have the capability. But basically... they've really streamlined the screen, so there are fewer choices, and you can just kind of filter the view.
It's just an arty angle, but you're saying you could...
That's a photo I did take of my Xbox back in probably last fall.
Oh, okay.
That's not the library screen. All right. No, sorry. That was my... The other one is a little bit bigger of a deal because for a year now, we've been waiting for Microsoft to release the inevitable update to their Elite wireless controller.
Yes.
$150 for this thing. It's wonderful, but it's also based on the original generation Xbox One controller. That means it doesn't have two things, a built-in headphone jack with mic capability and also Bluetooth compatibility, so it will work with Windows without a wire. So today they released a new Elite controller. It's white. It's the old color. And it's based on the original.
It's the same.
Yeah, it's the same thing, just white. Now, here's why this is a problem. That means they're not releasing a new Xbox One Elite controller this year, right? They would never release a white version of the old one now if they were going to release a new version of this controller.
Do they call this the Joe Biden?
Jeez. Right. That's the albino controller.
That's a long way to go on that one. It's the same thing, but it's white. Yeah. I'll let you think about it for a while.
I've got a lot of weird racist.
I'm on my way out. I really am. I'm going. I'm leaving.
He's counting down the minutes right
I'm
now.
Almost gone. I'm so sorry.
Anyway, this was really disappointing.
Yeah, so am I.
Just
where is the new Elite controller?
Right. So does that even exist? Washburn, the thing codenamed Washburn?
So Brad's seen it.
He has.
So we've been talking all year. Like, obviously, this thing's coming out this year. GamersCon happened, nothing. You know, E3 happened earlier, nothing. Big hardware announcement, nothing. You know, they announced a new one today. No. Like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with it. It's really disappointing. They could keep the design, just had the capabilities, you know. It's disappointing.
Do you think they're going to do it before Christmas? Or you think it's just like, no, they're not doing
it? Not anymore. I did. No? I thought this Christmas, clearly. But now, I mean, imagine Microsoft's not going to release this old controller and then update, you know, then release a new one that has this new style. It's crazy. It's crazy. I don't know. I just don't understand it. It's too bad.
So what are they holding off for?
Also, this isn't in the notes, but since this is an Xbox-heavy show and Mary Jo is slowly coming over to this side, I will point out...
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, you know, I'm paraphrasing. This week, Activision released Modern Warfare 2, meaning Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, on Xbox One backward compatibility. So it's the final Xbox 360 Call of Duty game that hasn't been ported over yet. So we have the complete collection other than the original Call of Duty, which didn't originally ship on the Xbox 360. It actually did later, but it's not backwards compatible yet. And this is a good one because this has all the awesome levels like Favela. You know what I mean, Mary Jo?
Favela level.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
All right, fine. Fine.
Okay, let's take a break. What do you say? when we come back, Paul Thurrott will give us his tip of the week. Mary Jo Foley will give us Enterprise Pick. And yes, there will be...
blood.
An adult beverage of some kind.
Yes.
But first, let me talk about... this is actually not enemy territory. I think you both use smartphones. You both use smartphones with Qualcomm Snapdragon parts. But I would like to introduce some of you to the notion that there is perhaps a better smartphone chip out there. Our show today brought to you by Qualcomm Snapdragon. So here's an easy question. Do you want faster data speeds on your phone? Sure you do. Sure you do. Because waiting is annoying. Who wants to wait? I'm waiting right now as I download my music on my iPad. Can I give you some actual numbers? This comes from Ookla, the folks who do speedtest.net, and they have a speed test app. They analyzed 1 million real-world results from that speed test app on phones with the AT&T and T-Mobile. This was all during the second quarter of this year, January, February, March. So it's April, May, and June. They found that Android phones with Snapdragon 845 from Qualcomm Technologies were up to 192% faster data speeds than non-Android phones with Intel modems. You know who you are. The 192% faster data speeds. And man, this Qualcomm Snapdragon 845 mobile platform is engineered with powerful features that allow you to do even more with your phone. Immersive XR experiences. I guess that's augmented and virtual reality. The third generation Qualcomm Hexagon 685 DSP supports sophisticated on-device AI. Gives you better camera, better pictures, better voice recognition, augmented reality, virtual reality, and gaming experiences, all massively improved. Advanced vault-like security, too, means you have, you know, all, you know, because we put a lot in our phones, our biometrics, our fingerprints, our iris, our face. The Qualcomm Secure Processing Unit keeps all that in isolation, keeps your precious biometrics and other data out of prying eyes. Plus, it's energy efficient. All-day battery life, where have we heard that? Capable of up to a 50% charge in only 15 minutes. That's the Qualcomm Quick Charge 3.0. So check out all the data for yourself at qualcomm.com/twit, qualcomm.com/twit. Then upgrade your data speeds with a phone powered by Snapdragon 845. qualcomm.com/twit. We thank Qualcomm Snapdragon for making Windows Weekly possible this week. Now I toss it to Mr. Thurrott for his tip of the week.
Surprise, it's an Xbox tip.
You're in the mood.
Google fixed a bug in Android that prevented Xbox and I believe other controllers from working correctly on that platform, and now they work. So you have to have a Bluetooth-capable Xbox One controller, meaning you can't use that Elite controller, which is really irritating, but you can use a normal, I think today it's just called the Xbox One wireless controller, Xbox One controller. I can't remember the official name, but the newer generation Xbox One controller works with Android now. So I'm going to test this out. The games I really want to play are like Fortnite and PUBG, and I don't believe either one of them natively supports a controller yet. But I did get a list of games that do. So this is something I'll be writing about soon. But if you are interested in gaming to go, you can now use a really good controller to do so. So that's
Even actually really good news.
The
Elite controller, right?
And then the other tip I have is kind of a selfish goal of mine is from an app pick, which is that oftentimes when I use non-Google Android phones, one of the things I don't like about those systems is the custom launcher that Samsung uses or OnePlus uses or whatever. And there's a number of reasons for that. I have my own particular weirdness, but I really like accessing that Google feed that you get off to the left of the home screen and so forth. So I've spent a lot of time testing various launchers and so forth. But what I really always want is I want the Google launcher and I want it everywhere. So today, actually, what is the name of this thing? There is it's not called Pixel Launcher. It is called
Rootless Launcher.
Ruthless, thank you. I think it used to be called Rootless Pixel Launcher, but they changed the name. But it's something that started outside of the Play Store, but now it's actually available in the Play Store.
Oh, that's cool.
And when you download an update,
it's the open source version.
It's kind of a combination of the open source launcher that Google provides to AOSP plus the source code from the Pixel Launcher, and this guy put it together. And there's an add-on you can download from within the launcher that gives you the Google feed thing, which I really like too. So when I look at this on my OnePlus 6 and I put it next to the Pixel Launcher on my Pixel 2 XL, they're basically identical now. And honestly, that's what I want. And so if that's something you've been looking for and you've been kind of playing with different launchers to get them look like the Android launcher, you might want to take a look at this thing. It seems to work really well.
Eric Duckman in our chat room saying, you can't just download the Pixel Launcher?
No. Nope, Google isn't compatible with your device.
Google, you have to have a Pixel.
Honestly, Google wants to move people toward what they think of as like a pure Android experience. I mean, it seems to me they would let people do that.
Yeah.
But they don't. Yeah. So that's why you need to do this kind of thing, unfortunately.
Good tip. I'm going to pass that along to the Android crowd.
I like it a lot. I mean, I'm curious what they think of it, but I think it works great.
Now, Mary Jo Foley and our Enterprise Picks of the Week.
Yes, I have two. The first one is about OneDrive and SharePoint. And I should say, just to be clear, because Microsoft was not when they announced this, I'm talking about OneDrive for Business, not any plain old consumer OneDrive. So they announced this week that they're adding some new features to OneDrive for Business and SharePoint that are going to be rolling out over the next few months before the end of the year. One of these is automatic transcription for video and audio files that are stored in OneDrive for Business and SharePoint. So if you know Microsoft Stream, which is their business video service, they're using that same technology to provide automatic transcriptions. And once you have the automatic transcriptions, these will become fully searchable. So if there's something that happens, say, in a podcast, and there's an automatic transcription for it, you'll be able to search for words, phrases, people's names, etc. So that's pretty handy. They're also adding a feature to OneDrive for Business that will let people more easily access documents, people, other information that they use in meetings, so that instead of having to dig around and go, oh, where's that document I shared in this meeting? All these things will be kind of moved to the forefront so that they'll be more accessible to you, both from the mobile apps and also from the desktop app, I believe. So there's a couple other kind of more minor features too that they announced yesterday, but they made sure to say all of these are AI powered, as everything is at Microsoft these days. So, you know, I will say, yes, these are things that are using the Microsoft Graph, which is a centralized API that basically everything in Office 365 is tying into these days. So things are getting smarter and kind of knowing what you've searched for and people you've met with, because it can look at your calendar and see what meeting you were in and who else was in the meeting. So, okay, I guess that's AI powered. But whatever you call these features, they're all going to be pretty useful. And if you're an Office 365 subscriber, you should keep an eye out for them before the end of the year.
Nice.
That's Enterprise Pick 1. Enterprise Pick 2 is something I talked about on the show before. At Microsoft's partner show earlier this year, they said that Skype for Business and Teams now had achieved feature parity. This week, they walked that back a little bit, and they said everything that we promised in our roadmap for migrating Skype for Business to Teams, we have achieved. So that's slightly different, a slightly different emphasis.
I think that's the equivalent of mission accomplished.
Yeah. Yep. Basically, they're saying, here, everything we told you we were going to do last year to get you to start thinking about migrating off of Skype for Business and going to Teams, we have achieved that. I think when they did get in a little trouble for saying feature parity, because then people were saying, well, it doesn't have this. You know, you said it had feature parity, but this feature is not there. So they've walked that back Microsoft. A little bit. but it's still a pretty big accomplishment. I mean, they're trying to get people to think about at some point in the relatively near term, if you're using Skype for Business, I should say online and not the on-premises version, that Microsoft's kind of nudging you to go with Teams, even if you want things like the advanced enterprise calling features. Those are now accessible or will be in the coming weeks through Teams. So, yeah, they haven't given us a date when they're going to finally say, okay, that's it. No more Skype for Business online. You have to be on Teams. There isn't a stated official date still for that, but they're definitely kind of giving you the little shove.
Hmm. Well, now that it's got feature parity, I'm ready to do
Don't
it.
Don't say feature parity.
Feature complete, maybe?
Yeah, roadmap complete.
Mission accomplished. A better,
there mm-hmm. we go. I like mission accomplished. Mission that's good. Accomplished.
Job done. Yeah. Job's done. And code name. We haven't had one in a while. This is good.
Yeah, this is a great one. So Raymond Chen, who does the Old New Thing blog, had a really good blog post about some of the code names during Windows 8. So if you remember, during Windows 8, there was somebody in charge of Windows at that point who didn't think we should have any fun code names. Like, code names were kind of banned under Windows 8.
What a jerk.
But Raymond Chen brings up some things that actually were code names. And I didn't know this, but Charms, you know, the Charms that were part of Windows 8, Charms was a code name that they actually ended up making part of the product name. But these other two ones are even more fun. So he said there was a thing called TDBN, which was pronounced Tidbin. And what that was the little box in the corner that had time, date, battery, and network. So they called it Tidbin.
I like it.
Right. And then he said, and if you selected settings from the Charms bar, a settings panel would slide in and be arranged in a way that there were three icons on the top and three icons on the bottom. And he said, we used to call that the six pack. I like all his little history and stuff where he brings in things like that we didn't know because they never leaked out at that point.
Yeah.
So love Raymond Chen. I'm interested in this. The last 2 days he's done Windows 8 things, like you said.
Yeah, he has.
Just want to point out the previous 12 posts were all about PowerPC assembly language. Let me tell you, that was a bit of a slug.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a slug. To talk about there.
You know,
no, there really isn't. It
had a flat Raymond's memory a man architecture. Of many.
He's like, I'm not actually an expert in this platform, but let's go into it in a little depth.
Oh, wow.
Like 2 weeks later.
The guy has
like,
a lot seriously. Of knowledge. He does.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is maybe a little inside baseball.
Crazy. Yeah.
Although, didn't have that segmented architecture of the x86. It had that flat memory model. I love that.
That's right.
You know what?
Just like the financing on the Xbox One.
Don't count Raymond out, guys. He could still come through on that.
We were talking about exactly the 68,000 a couple of days ago over a couple of beers. Who wouldn't, right? So maybe
it's the biggest thing in the world in 1985. I mean, you know, 16/32-bit computing.
Paul, I think you like me, deserve a little beer right now.
I think we're on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Jo, guys, we're coming up on Labor Day weekend here in the U.S. What do people do on Labor Day weekend if they're not flying to Barcelona?
I don't know about you, but I change out of my white shoes and white belt.
Exactly. It's time for that.
Yep.
It's also time to drink some nice beer at a cookout. You want something light, something easy drinking?
Yeah.
How about a Jack's Abbey House Lager?
How is it with Jack's Abbey? Ibérico?
Jack's Abbey from Framingham, Massachusetts, my hometown.
Jack's Abbey.
They make a lot of excellent lager style beers, which are not the exact same thing as ales. They're fermented in a different way, in a colder way. It usually gives you that flavor of kind of a crisper, a little malty, a little light, kind of a nice balance going on there.
Can we agree that Mary Jo is the Raymond Chen of beer?
I am. Yes. And I would recommend, I don't drink a lot of lagers, but when I do, I do kind of gravitate towards Jack's Abbey Lager.
Most interesting.
You've been to this place, right?
I've been there many times.
Yeah. Jack's Abbey.
And Leo, you know, if you're ever in the area, it's actually worth going to. It's really nice.
It is.
Mom, I'm going to Jack's Abbey. I'll be back later. Make sure you plow the driveway for me.
Exactly. You sound like my brother.
Yeah. My pick of the week.
There it is. 16/32-bit computing. Yeah,
that is programmer's reference.
Odd that I described it that way.
When you get the operation ABCD on the X line, you want to make sure that you use the C for the special carry there.
Yeah.
Look at that thing.
Look at that.
Wow.
I have this to hand. That's the funny
thing. What is the publication date on this book?
I have it right here. It is 1984, 1982. There have been four editions, originally published in 1979.
Yikes.
Wow. Yikes. Yeah.
It's been around.
Yeah, it's a good book, too. I might bring this on the trip.
Yeah. Right.
If you need to knock yourself out.
It might be a good fan if it gets too hot.
Yeah.
I like the tagline, break away from the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now what do you do?
This is an official Motorola guide.
Oh yeah, this is no.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's a real deal. ISBN number 0135667 95/X. Jeez. Ladies and gentlemen, now would be a good time for me to get the hell out of here.
It would,
because I think we've completely completed Windows Weekly this week. Next week, somebody else will be sitting on my ball.
Yep, who cares?
Some random person.
I can't remember if it's Jason. I think it's Megan, but I don't know. Anyway, somebody very nice will be sitting here.
Mm-hmm. Somebody very not in Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. I will not just be in Barcelona.
No.
I am going all over.
You're doing like a Mediterranean thing, aren't you?
Yeah. It involves a boat.
Where in Italy do you go?
The Amalfi Coast.
Yeah. Now, you're not going to do some kind of weird thing and not post pictures on Instagram, are you?
No, I already deactivated my Instagram account along with my Twitter.
What about
Facebook,
your wife, though? She's going to be... She
will probably. But what I would encourage you to do is visit my blog.
Jeez, there we go.
Where we'll be talking about the Motorola 68,000 family.
All right. Leo, how would I find this so-called blog?
LeoLaporte.com. And I will.
How am I going to remember that?
I don't know. I will be putting pictures there and other places. I'm going to toot pictures on my Mastodon account.
Nope. Nonsense words. It's like someone from France heard about the internet but didn't ask for any translations. And that's what they came up with.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I just said that. You know what? The other thing I will be, you know, there's a lot of tutors now getting very angry.
Sure, there are. Several tutors.
Mocking us.
It's a new series on Showtime, The Tutors.
I will also be sending physical postcards to my friends and family.
Jeez.
Wow. Nice.
I know, it's kind of old fashioned. I know.
That's amazing.
Yeah, who needs this Instagram stuff? This internet is never going anywhere.
going to bring home like a personalized tile for everybody, you know.
I am. A Moorish tile. That's a great idea, Paul. Thank you. We're going to the Alcazar, something like that. Yeah, the Kasbah, the Souk. We're doing it all.
You going to Morocco or?
Yeah. We're on the road to Morocco. Yeah, me and Bob Hope. No, yeah, we're going to Tangier. You know, you can also call it Tangiers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's where I went when the only time I've been to Africa. It's beautiful.
I can't wait. I'm really excited.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, we're going. I mean, I think the Amalfi thing is going to be a little rushed because we also want to get to Pompeii before Vesuvius erupts. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that. I always wanted to see that. Anyway, we're doing it. It's great. Yeah, and there'll be pictures galore. Yeah. I put them up. I just thought I'm tired of the military industrial complex.
Sure.
And I'm just going to withdraw into my own little shell.
Right.
I understand.
So this show will
resume. But I still want to see the pictures.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. You'll see it. It'll be on the internet somewhere on my blog. This show will resume next Wednesday, though, not with me. Is it Megan? Megan Maroney will be here. That'll be same time as always. 11. Actually, Megan will be on time, so you can count on 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time, 1800 UTC on Wednesday. And for three Wednesdays in a row, I'll be back September 25th. So, like, a long time from now.
We will be in Orlando.
We'll be at Ignite.
Oh, that's right.
Which is a lot like the trip you're going on.
Are we flip-flopping days? I think you're doing yours on Tuesday.
Yeah, right? On a Tuesday. Yeah. That's right.
So it will be the 24th. Yeah. But Megan will remind you about all that. You can watch the shows live if you go to twit.tv/live. You can also chat if you go to twit.tv/live in our chat room. That's all the other people watching live, all 12 of them. And that's irc.twit. No, there's actually several hundred people in there. irc.twit.tv. You can also subscribe to the podcast or download them. Actually, the easiest thing to do, go to the website, twit.tv/ww. That's where we have all the previous 584 episodes. You can download individual episodes, audio or video, or subscribe in your favorite podcast application, and you'll get it automatically. You'll find Paul at therott.com, T-H-U-R-R-O-T-T.com. His books are at leanpub.com. You'll find Mary Jo Foley at allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's her ZDNet blog. Thank you, both of you, for putting up with me today. I'm sorry I might
have. You made it entertaining. But
yeah. Have a good trip. It sounds
Yeah, I mean, have a great
time. It's not
going to
be hard. Okay. Sounds like it's going to be awesome.
I cannot wait. I'm really excited.
I know.
Yeah. We actually be doing Twig, and then I'm running to the airport. I think I have an 8 p.m. or 8:30 flight. So.
Nice.
And then we'll be in Barcelona, as you said, Paul, 24 hours later.
Yeah, it's a long trip.
It's all right. I brought a good book.
Got a Nexus 7 there. You can load
Nexus
up a couple
7.
Of SD videos.
Yeah. It's going to be great. Be nice. It's going to be great. I like.
I'm not using any technology that wasn't invented before 1999.
I like the counting videos. 24. 23. That'll keep
what happens when that thing hits zero? Do we just get pulled off the air?
I guess. I don't know. You know, I've never actually, it's never gotten
like a pitch
to zero.
Count? Does it ever change and goes back up?
Yeah. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. 6543
on
Windows Weekly. Bye bye. Oh, it just starts over.
Oh, jeez.